The first time I ever had to bury a good friend of mine happened about 3 weeks ago. And it got me to thinking, because we had a 2-day remembrance of him. And what I remember of him was, we had a lot of good times. I brought him out here to Wheeler County. We came out here to David and Becky's place when we were kids, and went with Christy and Sean to some of their banquets and rode four-wheelers and went hunting, and just really good memories. And he was just a good guy. He was a guy that was humble, but he was strong. And he was the type of guy that would take up for a little wimp when he was getting bullied. He was just a good guy. And over the years, we lost contact. So I really didn't know what, I knew he was a big time lawyer, but I didn't know just how big he was. And during these 2 days of remembrance of him, we gathered with, you know, classmates and family members and just exchanged stories and stuff. And, you know, the guy was, come to find out, they really don't know. They just, how much he was worth. But it was over $500 million. And his chief financial guy is another one of our friends, and he said he gave away more money than he was worth. He's just a good guy. But I heard over and over the comments of to the fact that he's in a better place now. He's in heaven with the angels. And it just, because I knew his, the absence of the practice in his life and that he had never obeyed the gospel, it just made me really sad to hear that over and over. Anyway, that's what got me to thinking about this this morning. Want to start out by defining sin. The Greek hamartia means to miss the mark, to err, to do wrong, to stray from God's law, to violate His law. Keeping that in mind, I want you to consider some people. And who do you think is really worse in this whole lineup here? You've got Nero. Historians will tell you that he was personally responsible for martyring about 3,000 to 5,000 Christians. He would have them executed in his courtyard while he had dinner. He was a bad dude. Adolf Hitler. They claim he killed anywhere between 8 and 17 million people. I mean, they can't even narrow it down any closer than that. He was a bad guy. Did a lot of bad things. Joseph Stalin. He killed twice as many people as Hitler. He was the enemy of religion. He thought religion was the weakness of man, and especially Christianity. This guy here in 2017, 21-year-old guy, head-on collision, killed a mother and 4 children. Just a young guy, got drunk, went out and killed people. What about the wicked? The murderers, the robbers, the drug dealers, the abusers of children? This used to be my pet peeve right here, this abusers of the elderly and children, because I thought it was so cowardly. And they just ranked real high up there in my mind of bad people. What about your normal everyday sinner? Your people that are sexually immoral, the liars, the drunks, the self-righteous? What about the good people like Jason? By man's standards, where do they rank? The people that pay their taxes, abide by the law, help out their neighbors. They're good people. What about you? What about me? Where do we fit in this whole thing? In this whole scheme of things? See, man has a standard. He ranks people by their behavior, bad or good. But that standard is not God's standard. God's standard says in 1 John 1 and 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In Romans chapter 3 and 23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, we all have it. We all have sin. The result of this sin is death. 1 Corinthians 15 and 56, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now what do we mean by death? What does that really mean? We're told in Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it, in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, if you don't make it, you don't make it. I mean, all those people we looked at, that in your mind, in my mind, are just, I mean, they've done a lot of bad things. But me and you, we violated God's law. You see? The death we're talking about in Matthew chapter 25 and 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This death, I know that a lot of you, Mom, Becky, Nelda, Donald, a lot of you have experienced physical pain to a higher level than I ever have. Physical pain hurts. It's not fun. Physical pain is nothing compared to mental pain. Nothing. Mental pain is exponentially worse than physical pain. Spiritual pain is exponentially worse than mental pain. It's the worst. Now, can you imagine being separated from everything that's good for eternity? Everything. Can you imagine the anguish and the pain involved in that? It's a sobering thought. So what's the answer? Forgiveness. The Greek, deliverance, pardon, ascending away, a letting go, a release, releasing someone from obligation or debt. So where do we seek it? Where do we seek forgiveness? Look at these guys. Now you know several people that are named John, Matthew, James, Andrew, Peter, Thomas. You know people that are named that. I know people that are named that. Do you know anybody that's named Judas? I don't. Never even heard of them. Nobody names their kids Judas. Because Judas is infamous for betraying Christ. He's anathema. It's taboo. But I'm going to tell you something about Judas, and I'm sorry about this. It's probably going to be too small for y'all to read. But Judas was one of the chosen apostles. He lived with Christ. He ate with Christ. He slept in the same camp with Christ. He witnessed Christ heal the sick, walk on water, control the environment. He witnessed Christ raise a man from the dead. That's what Judas saw. Not only did he see that and witness it, but he partook the gift that Jesus Christ bestowed upon him and the other apostles. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, talking about Jesus. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. John, his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Judas had the power to heal people. Judas had the power to cast out demons. Judas had the power to raise the dead. So I ask you, the difference between all those guys, all those other apostles, and Judas is this. Peter betrayed Christ. He denied him 3 times. And all those guys fled. They were scattered when Christ was taken to the cross. You see? But all those guys, they came back. And they sought forgiveness from the Savior. But Judas, this is what he did. Matthew chapter 27 verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. He was sorry. That dude was sorry for what he did. He didn't think Christ was going to the cross. But that's what happened. And he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He sought a remedy to his sin from a worldly source. He didn't go to Christ. You see? Don't be this guy. Don't be him. Man's standard. And you hear this over and over and over. I heard this for 2 straight days during my friend's remembrance. This is what I heard. Just welcome Jesus into your heart. Just say the sinner's prayer and you're saved. Find your own path. We are just all on different roads that all lead to heaven. The way we worship doesn't matter just as long as we worship. All good people go to heaven. I heard this over and over. That's man's standard. It's man's standard. I challenge you to study your Bible, Google it, whatever you got to do, and you find any of this. If you can find any of this in the Holy Scriptures, I want you to show it to me. That's man's standard. God's standard, 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ as his son cleanses us from all sin. John chapter 14 and 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way. There's one path. There's one road. There's one gate. There's one door. It's Jesus Christ. It's only one. And we're given over and over a pattern of how we are to access that forgiveness. Everybody here has heard that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, a perfect example, and he went to the cross and took the sins of the world, shed his blood, and died for us. You've all heard that. The question is, do you believe? Have you repented of your old ways? Have you turned from them? Have you confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and your Savior? And last, the consummating act, have you been buried in baptism and washed in His blood? The point of salvation. See, everybody in this world is either going to follow man's standard or they're going to follow God's standard. And what it all boils down to is pride. One more aspect of this forgiveness. I want to talk about a bitter root. It's not the only bitter root, but it is a bitter root that takes root in a person's heart. The unforgiving attitude. It's what we want to examine. Hebrews chapter 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm going to tell you, and you know this, I'm not telling you anything new. Unforgiveness will destroy friendships. It will destroy marriages. It will cause division in the church. It's bitter. It's bitterness. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now all you people that are descended from a Dukes can relate to this guy. He's a hardhead. Peter was a hardhead. He says, how many times have I got to forgive my brother? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You're going to do it. You got to do it forever. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. An unpayable sum. Unpayable. This guy couldn't pay that in 100 lifetimes. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him of the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, I know I have a debt that I could never pay. I have a debt that I never could pay. We all have that debt. It's an unpayable debt because it requires a death. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion in thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. The great debt that we have been forgiven, the debt we couldn't pay, Yet, a family member, a friend, a co-worker offends us, disrespects us, hurts our pride, and we hold them accountable. That's what Jesus is talking about here. You see? Man's standard. How many times have you heard this? I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. I bet I've said that 1,000 times myself. I'll forgive you, but I ain't gonna forget. I'll forgive you. That's nonsense. But that's man's standard. God's standard, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's God's standard. So how would it be if we showed up at judgment and the good Lord said, I forgive you, but I sure remember what you did. I've got a family member. I tell you that, you know, when a family member says something that hurts your pride or hurts your feelings, that is a very, very hard thing to deal with for me. And I tell you what's even harder for me to deal with when they do that to one of my loved ones. Of course, Sean is one of my accountability partners. And when I feel it coming on, I call him and I tell him this is what's going on. He'll pray. Go to the Lord in prayer right then. But I tell you, this family member had done something to one of my loved ones. And my first impulse was to go snatch every hair out of his head and burn him down with my tongue. Read him the riot act. And I called Sean. Matter of fact, I was headed to Sandy Soul to preach. And I was just in turmoil about this, you know. And I realized something. I'd been saying all along, because this guy had done several things to me prior to this, and I'd been saying all along, I forgive him. But you know what I was doing? I was telling myself that I forgave him. But every chance I got, I was reliving or relating and reliving these events to everybody I had an opportunity to tell. To hold myself up and downgrade him for what he had done to me. You see? Because forgiving and not forgetting is not forgiveness at all. Not by God's standard. Man's standard of forgiveness, or how to deal with your enemies, I should say. Just ignore them. And it can be any scope of this. We see people deal with their enemies and their adversaries. We do it ourselves. And any scope of this, from top to bottom, we ignore them. Just give them the silent treatment. Don't have nothing to do with them. We work to defeat our enemies. Rejoice in the enemy's hardship. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Hate your enemies. That's the world's standard. That's man's standard. Get even. Don't just get even, get more than even. That's the world's standard. God's standard, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Love your enemies. Now, how easy is it? Just think of, we've all got enemies, okay? Just think of the person that is your number one adversary on this earth. Do you have tender-hearted feelings about him? That's a difficult thing, isn't it? Difficult for me. Very difficult. Love, at its base essence, is not a feeling. It is an act of will. It is a decision. Hollywood would tell you, you can fall in and out of love like changing clothes. That ain't the way it works. True love is an act of will. When you consider somebody else above yourself, before yourself, even when they're your enemy, even when they're your enemy. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's the sum of it right there. We must forgive. Something else that I discovered, the blessing of forgiving somebody. Because the same gentleman that I'm talking about that wronged my family and me, I don't hate him no more. I like him. But it's nothing that the power of prayer, when you continually pray for your enemies, it changes your heart. You see, you start considering your enemies and their welfare, whereas before all you wanted was their demise. Just leave me alone. The power of prayer, the power of following God's commandment to love our enemies and to pray for them, do good to them. With mankind, forgiveness blesses the forgiver as well as the forgiven, and I would say even more so. And the last thing that I want to say about this is something that a dear brother told me a while back. We have to own our mistakes. If we don't own them, they will own us. And it's true. I mean, it is true. If you don't own it, it's going to own you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I went to the Lord in prayer and I just didn't want to tell him what I'd done. How stupid is that? He knows everything. But it's so shameful. So shameful. Brothers and sisters, if we don't own it, it's going to own us. It might not own us today, might not own us tomorrow, but it'll own us in the end.